Hey, it is Maddie, one of your co-hosts, coming to you from a 1 a.m. editing session. Just wanted to give a quick heads up. Nothing super serious, no like deep trigger warnings, but we are doing a pain scale in this episode and we are expounding on the stories surrounding said physical pain. So if you are squeamish, if you don't like blood talk or pain talk, or just tense stories in general, in terms of bodily injury. This one might not be for you. Go ahead and skip today. But we love you and thank you for being here.
So today, we are going to be talking about our most painful experiences and ranking them on the Wong Baker Faces Pain Rating Scale. That's that thing that you see at a doctor's office where it's got like 0 is like a smiling person and 10 is like sobbing. So yeah, let's start with you, Maddie. You wanna talk about the time you broke your nose?
Yeah, the time I broke my nose, which is a little crooked now because of that. I don't know. I don't mind it.
It's not noticeable.
Yeah. No?
Not really, you
I notice it probably because I know the story. But what happened was, you see, I sword fight, and I mean, like, theatrical swords. We would do like combat with long swords, things like that. You get to a point where you have real steel, but before that you use bamboo swords, and that is what we had for this story, thank God, or I might have had a very different situation with my nose. I would have been a Voldemort. But me and Mackenzie invented this game called Alliance, and it's long and elaborate. It's a convoluted version of tag, but with swords. And basically, if you lose legs, then you take a knee on the leg that you lost. And I had lost both legs, and so I took a knee, both knees. And you don't want to get tagged again because you can get revived and get back in the game. And so the opposing side will often guard you and like stand there with a sword so your opponent can't tap you back into the game. So that's what was happening. This kid had a bamboo sword like across my neck. And somebody came to, like, they're running in front of me, facing me, and the person was standing behind me, guarding me. Okay. So somebody runs up to attack the guy that's guarding me, and the sword is like sideways across my neck, like you would if you're trying to slice somebody's throat open. And they jerked the sword up to like block the person coming at them, and it snagged my nose and broke it. Blood went everywhere, and I happened to be kneeling on a pile of recently scraped leaves, so it
Oh
looked
no.
like this death pyre that I'd been buried beneath. It was very funny. But yeah, blood went everywhere. For pain, that one would be probably a 2 for pain for me.
2 for pain. Okay, so hurts a little bit,
Hurts a
which is
little bit. I don't remember the pain being nearly as bad as the choking on your blood. Like, I was so bothered by the discomfort and the like panic of not being able to breathe. That was worse. But yeah, pain-wise, I'd give it a 2.
Speaking
Your
of broken
turn.
bones, I'm gonna go ahead and jump right smack into the middle of the big bad. The time that my Great Dane broke my toe. So at the time, I had this big old Great Dane. I think he was about 2 years old at that time, named Odie. Sweet boy. Miss him every day. Love him to death. But we were in this. It was me and my roommate at the time, Kaylee. We lived in this little rental house that had it was kind of situated on a hill, and so in the back there was this concrete patio out in the backyard, and then there was a retaining wall that led up to or that held back this hill essentially that was just pure grass, and which Odie absolutely loved. And the retaining wall, I don't know why, but it was broken in this one section in like 3 pieces, but it seemed like it was well it didn't seem like it was going to go anywhere. You know, it should have probably been fixed, honestly, before they rented it out, but whatever. And one night I let Odie out as usual, right before putting him to bed, and he was outside playing and I was standing outside, and he did this thing where he would run in a circle and go crazy with the zoomies. And then he loved to run at me and then skid to a stop at my feet, like, you know, a few feet in front of me, and then just sit there and wait for me to love on him. And he did that, but he was on the grassy part, the hill. And when he skidded to a stop, he skidded into the retaining wall, into the broken part, and knocked this, I'd say like 2 foot square section of brick retaining wall onto my foot.
I cannot.
Yeah. So I had never broken a bone before, but instantly I was like, that is a broken bone. There is something about that deep visceral pain that just makes you go, ah, that's broken.
Oh God. I bet the sound doesn't help.
Oh no, no. The
I feel
crunch,
like so much of pain is the sound being
the crunch
awful.
And the thud. And what sucked, what was really bad was it split my toe open as well. So there was blood everywhere. And I screamed, and just like that deep guttural sobbing, I couldn't stop, and hobbled in. And luckily this was like a rare, because Kaylee worked nights, and so it was really rare for her to be home, but luckily she was home, and I feel so bad. God bless her. I love her to death. Truly a fantastic person. I can't say enough.
She's wonderful.
Drove me to the hospital, because I came hobbling, and she's like, what happened? I was like, my toe is broken, I'm pretty sure. Like, I was sobbing through saying this. And she's like, okay, well, I can take you to the hospital. The moment she said that, I think the adrenaline kicked in or something, and I went into shock, because I instantly was like, all right, yes, we need to go to the hospital. Stopped crying instantly, hobbled to my room, grabbed a handful of, like, paper towel, and just, like, put it over my foot, because I was bleeding everywhere. It was horrible. It was like a massacre. Went, got, God, you know, some sort of clothing on somehow, because I was in my room. And, like, she's driving me to the hospital. I called my dad on the car ride there. I was like, hey, Dad, don't panic. I need to know what hospital I need to go to, because I think I just broke my toe. So he meets us there. And Kaylee helps me hobble in. And again, the adrenaline and shock is still so intense with me at the moment. I walk in. They don't take me seriously. I hobble in, and I'm like, hello, hi, how are you doing this evening? I think I broke my toe, so I'm gonna need that looked at, if that's okay. Like, I was just acting like a complete crazy person. They probably thought I was on something. Still just tracking blood through the entire thing, even with all the towels on my foot. Like, it was, oh God, it was a mess. Mm. and I think we probably sat there for like a couple of hours or whatever. This is a bit of a longer story, I realize, but it's only because...
Oh, go for it.
So, we get in there, it's, like, Kaylee's able to leave finally, like, after, so she, you know, she offered to stay, and I greatly appreciated that, but I was like, no, you gotta go, you know, got stuff to do tomorrow, like, I appreciate it. God love her, she cleaned up all the blood for me.
Oh my God.
Yeah, like, when I got...
She's so nice! She's so sweet, I love her.
But because I wound up after the fact, I wound up staying with my parents for like, I think, a few days or whatever, because I was so high on painkillers, I couldn't do anything. Mm. But yeah, she mopped up all my blood, and I'm like, I owe you so much. but when I finally got in to get checked out, like, I was in pretty severe pain. They did an X-ray and they found out that, because my dad was like, so when I was out in the lobby or the waiting room, my dad was like, I don't think you broke it. Like, I feel like you would be, you're in really, you're, you know, I guess just judging by my reaction, I was cutting up. I was laughing. Like, I was having a good old time because, you know, shock.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was like,
possibly autism.
Yeah, exactly. And he's like, it's probably not broken. Like, cause he's broken bones before. So like, he knows what it feels like. He's like, you seem okay. Like, and I was mm-hmm. like, oh no, I'm pretty sure it's broken, Dad. I am. And sure enough, they did the X-ray and it had split up the bone.
God,
on my
no.
big toe.
Awful.
It was
Brianna.
at the joint where like the two bones meet, and somehow it only cracked one, but it had cracked up the bone in a Y shape.
Oh my God.
And they're like,
oh my God, that's awful. No matter how many times I hear that story, it feels like the first time every time. Like, it mm-hmm. sounds awful.
Mm-hmm. The wildest thing of the night, though, was the nurse that admitted me at first. I don't know if he was having a bad day or if he was trying to make a joke. But I get in and he's like, you know, assessing my foot or whatever, like taking down the paperwork stuff. And he's like, okay, so what happened? And I was like, well, my dog knocked her. He had said something previously that I can't remember what it was, but it was a little weird. And he's like, okay, so what happened? And I was like, oh, well, long story short, my dog knocked over a retaining wall onto my foot and broke my toe. He cuts me off and goes, don't lie about that. Everybody knows women are bad drivers. And I'm like, what?
And what does that have to do with your toe?
And I was like, but I wasn't driving. And then he just continues on with the next question like it's nothing. And my dad just sitting there like,
what the fuck?
Like, we're both just kind of because again, this was like at this point it was probably like midnight, so maybe he just had a rough night shift. I don't know, but
wow.
And he said some other like weird things that I can't remember, but that one stuck with me. And yeah, so I didn't cry through the entire rest of the time because again, shock and just at that point, like I was in too much pain to cry. Weirdly enough. The only time I started crying again was when they came in and they looked at my toe and they're like, yeah, well, looks like we're going to need to do some stitches. And I have an extreme needle phobia. So the moment they suggested the idea of stitches, I lost it. I was crying. I was on the verge of a panic attack. And they're like, well, actually, on second thought, we can get away with some. We'll do some butterflies. We'll immobilize it. Blah blah blah. And I'm like, okay, please don't put a needle in my foot.
Oh my God, that sounds awful.
Yeah. Because
especially in the foot, like it's all bone and skin. There's not a lot of cushion there for you.
Yeah. Ugh. And they're like, hey, on second thought, because of the way that you are reacting.
So that's anyway. My least favorite part of surgery is the needle in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, why? It's all I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
it's terrible.
I, as a tiny little detour, since we're talking medical stuff, I have a very sensitive vasovagal response, which basically just means that sometimes my body will decide that if you're trying to take my blood, it'll drop my blood pressure way the heck too low and I will pass out.
Yikes.
So I basically, I have this whole thing. I was supposed to get, I was supposed to get blood work done yesterday because I went to the endocrinologist. I now found out that I have Hashimoto's disease, which is literally just my brain, my body thinks my thyroid is an invader and wants to kill it. So whatever. I was supposed to go get blood work done, but the problem is, I had to go wait in the lab lobby, and I forgot that waiting in anticipation of getting my blood taken is almost worse than getting my blood drawn. I wound up leaving. I definitely need to go back and do that, but I think I'm going to go on a day when there's not as many people because I knew that if I had stayed, I would have had a panic attack in the chair, and it would have just been this whole thing. And they had already seen me cry once. Like, it just, they didn't, the last time I was at that specific lab, they didn't need to see it again. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
All that to say, the broken toe, I would say, is a solid 8.5. Do you want to talk about the time you got bit by a horse?
Oh my God, yeah. Okay, kind of a side jaunt, that horse was amazing. He was like a horse you'd write a movie about. He was this massive, oh my God, why am I blanking on the name? The dappled one, starts with an A, Appaloosa.
Appaloosa.
Yeah. Yeah. Massive, thick Appaloosa boy.
Oh, I love that.
He was the horse that like
the person we got him from was like, he's mean, like he's not gonna be a good horse. And my dad was like, I love him. We'll get him anyway. And my dad, like, who is air quotes neurotypical, that boy is not neurotypical, he hyperfixated on making this horse happy. He got, like, he went to classes, he got videos. Anyway, it's a side job, but that horse was great. He trained the crap out of the horse until it was a dog. Like, it was, he just worked with it, like, sat in a round pen with it, gave it apples. Like, it was these sweet, like, film-like approaches to training this horse. Aww. And he would, like, come when he was called. He would put his shoulder, his head on your shoulder to walk with you, like he was being held. Like, this horse became an angel.
All that to say, he did not bite me on purpose at all. But this is, like, hard to do, but when you feed a horse, if you don't know, you're not supposed to, like, finger feed it because they can't control their bite like a dog can.
Yeah.
Your fingers will get bitten. You're supposed to, like, put something flat in your hand and give it to them so they can lip it.
Yeah.
And get it with their lips and then, like, shove it back in the back of their mouth. So I did that appropriately. I don't know what happened or how, but somehow he, like, sucked the palm of my hand, like, into his mouth and, like, bit. I mean, like, the whole palm of my hand was just teeth. If you've never been in person with a horse and you don't know what their teeth are like, they are thick teeth. Mm-hmm. They are, like, little rocks. They're huge and heavy, and their jaws are, like, really stronger than you'd think. So it was rough. I think the pain on that was easily worse than breaking my nose.
Ooh.
I would say that was probably, I would say, like, a 4.5.
4.5.
Yeah, yeah. It hurt a lot for the second, and then, like, you know, it goes away. But that, like, stinging kind of, like,
yeah,
there's so many nerves in your exposed palm. Mm. And yeah, yeah, that was rough.
Ooh, I just have to hold my palms for a moment. I have a migraine here for me. So it's hard because I get atypical migraines. Sometimes there's no head pain at all. In fact, most of the time that I get a migraine, there is no head pain. It's just what they call, like, an ocular migraine, where I see stuff, or I'll hear stuff, or my body will go numb and weak, and then I'll get the postdrome, which is, like, the extreme exhaustion after the migraine. I luckily, knock on something, haven't had a migraine for quite some time, but I remember the worst one I ever had. We were at it was, like, a fundraiser for a judge that we somehow got sucked into, like, running this judge's, not running, but, like, helping with this judge's campaign. And it was, like, the after party or whatever. And they had set up a projector so that I could play the videos that I had made, like the morale boosting and whatnot, and interview videos that I had done for their campaign. And this man, this little old man with extremely thick glasses, walked in line of the projector and turned to look at me. And when he did that, he beamed the light directly into my face. And instantly I was seeing the ocular aura. And I was like, no, this is not going to be good. And so I had to ask for a ride home. And that was the single most painful headache or migraine I have ever had in my life. But it still was only about a 5.
Yeah.
you chipped a tooth?
Oh, yeah. This story is really stupid. I think I was, like, oh, I don't know, very small, probably 8 or 9. And if you were raised in church, you know that 2 hours is church, and the subsequent 6 hours is your parents being physically incapable of ending a conversation. And so yep. That is what happened. My parents were standing around talking long after everybody else was home. And me and the girl, her name was Taylor, that was the child of the people my parents were talking to, we were, like, all the only two families there. So we were like, we're bored. We're going to run around the whole church and play tag while our parents talk, which we did. And I was it, and I was, like, hauling ass after her. And we were both like sports people. So we played like tag, motherfuckers. We weren't messing around. We were going to win. And so I am like going as hard as I can. And she she decides to stop, like in front of me. I'm running towards her because I'm the one that's it. And she just full on stops, trying to get me to run into her instead of tag her so she can like juke, you know, we're playing hard. Which is what happened, except she was much taller than me. And so she stopped, and when I ran into her, my face cracked into, like, the knot, the, like, what is that called? The little knots on the back of your skull?
Yeah.
Like, the top of your spine?
Yeah, that just the random, yeah, I don't know what it's called. Yeah,
those little knobs you got back there.
Yeah.
My face just slammed into those, and I just felt, like, bloop, little pieces of teeth come out. Literally fell into my hands. I caught them.
Oh, no.
And they were just little, like, granulated pieces of teeth. So the tooth next to my fused tooth, if you heard us talk about that, which is this one, my left front tooth and the tiny tooth next to it are fused. And so the right little middle tooth still has a chip to it. So if I'm talking and it whistles, that's why. I never, ever had that before that.
Oh, my gosh.
But air just, like, goes through that little hole in my tooth. It's not visible. It's just, I feel it. It's like granulated spot. So I would say the pain of that was probably a 3.
Okay.
The impact hurt worse than breaking the tooth itself.
Hot stick. So when I was, I don't know, maybe like 10-ish, 10 or 9 or 10, I don't know, 10 or 11, something like that. We went to visit family in Arkansas. Me, my mom, and my sister and my grandma did. And while we were there, I can't remember, we weren't camping. Or maybe we did camp. I don't know. I'm hazy on the situation surrounding. All I know is that we were up on this mountain way far away from town. Town was like 30 minutes away or something. And we had a campfire going in the middle of the day. I remember that very distinctly because I thought it was weird that we had a campfire going in the middle of the day, but we did. And I was bored out of my skull. Because it was just, again, my mom, my grandma, and my great aunt and great uncle, and I think my aunt, and that was it. And so I was walking around just grabbing sticks and throwing them into the fire and generally playing with the fire whenever I could, whenever people weren't watching me. And at one point, I was just, you know, I reached out and just grabbed this white stick. That was just, it was near the fire, but like it wasn't in the fire. And apparently that stick had somehow popped out of the fire. And so it was smoldering hot. And I grabbed it with my full palm, my full hand, and instantly realized I had messed up. Because I, yeah, that I think I had second degree burns on my hands or something. But they didn't, I don't think they took me to a hospital. Because, like, my great aunt and great uncle were so convinced, like, they knew the right way to do it, blah, 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 I don't know. And, like, the hospital was apparently, like, even further away on the other side of town or something, and it would have taken, like, an hour to even get there, and all I wanted was some sort of pain relief, so we instead went back to their house, which was only, like, 15 minutes away, and, or were we at their house? I don't know. We went back to their house, and they took care of it, but that... I would say that was like a solid, like, I'd say that was a solid 6 because
that sounds real bad.
Because of my, firstly, because of my age and the fact that it was like your hand, you know, that again, like you said with your hand story, there's so many nerves there and there's just so much damage that can be done. And it's still, I have to hold my palms now. Bad hot stick.
Bad hot stick.
I have your next one listed as deboobify when you
deboobify
when you had your breast reduction.
Okay.
And they messed it up.
Okay. Yeah. Here's the thing with that one. Okay. Prepare if you have like a weak stomach. That's not nice phraseology. What's a nicer way to say that? If you are easily grossed out by specific pain description. This one's nasty. So, and there will be blood talk. It's a post-surgery thing. So. The actual, like, laying around, healing, just existing, mm-hmm. was fine for me. Like, I don't remember pain, really. I only took pain medication once afterwards, or twice, but I threw one up, so it didn't stay. Like, I only took pain medication once. The actual healing process was fine for me. Mackenzie had a very different experience, but I was, like, literally 2 days after my surgery, I rearranged the furniture in my house. Like, I was fine. But however, there was one sliver of the recovery process that was awful, awful. And it was any time I had to go from laying down to sitting up. It was terrible. Mm. So, if you have boobs at all, you know that, like, the everything shifts. Like, when you sit, or just if you have anywhere where there's an accumulation of lipids on your body, yeah. when you sit up, like, it's going to sink lower.
Right, gravity.
And the stitches are underneath. So, ooh. When you sit up, everything shifts and the weight goes to the stitches.
Mm-mm.
And so does the blood and the pus and everything. And so it wasn't just pain. I would sit up, and then especially towards the end of the recovery process where, like, you're no longer numb. Your nerve endings are trying to reconnect and wake up and things mm-hmm. like that. It would, like, every time pinch, like, so, like, in a way, like, throughout my body, like, the worst stinging ever. I was, like, instantly mm-hmm. nauseous. It would pinch so bad. It would pinch, and then I would feel liquid, like, roll down the front of my body every time, and it was, like, that followed up by that. You know, like, when pain is almost icy, like, you're almost mm-hmm. cold because it hurts so bad. It was like that every time, and you just have to go, like, slowly, like, incrementally. It would be, like, pinch, drip, pinch.
Oh,
like, it was
God.
So bad. So, If I could go back, I would sleep in a recliner and not in a bed. So that I didn't have to do that. I would say that is like an 8.5. That was awful.
Yikes. Yeah, that sounds absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
Good night.
Oh, another part of that is my doctor was an idiot, as we've learned.
Mm-hmm.
And they have this, I mean, any surgery like that gives you like a kind of compression bra, like a support bra to ideally limit that from happening. And then underneath it, you have your little surgical tape to cover up the stitches and keep it sanitary and stuff like that. For whatever reason, this fucking idiot put double-sided surgical tape.
Oh my God.
And you're supposed to wash this stuff like every day.
Oh no.
So there was double-sided tape and the compression bra was on it. So I had to peel the bra off of my stitches. That added to the 8.5.
Mm-mm.
And then he was like, in the like follow up later, he was like, is there anything we could do better? And I told him, like, use single sided tape so that doesn't happen. And he was like, oh, that's just a part of the process. And I was like, no, it isn't. Like, I got to the point where finally I told Mackenzie, put like paper over that.
Yeah, seriously.
So we just like put something over it. But yeah, it was so bad.
Oh my God. Yeah, dude, that
idiot.
Doctor does not deserve to have a license.
No. No.
God,
awful.
What a terrible person.
Yeah.
Next up for me is dental work in general. I know we talked about this previously, but I apparently, according to my dentist, have very good and active nerves. I don't know how nerves are active, but they are. So they're very responsive and they're very active and they just love carrying feelings. And I'm like, good. Because it takes so much lidocaine to knock me out. It's or not knock me out, but like to prevent me from being able to feel. And so I have a panic attack just about every time I have to have like teeth work done. And I pity the doctors, honestly, to a certain degree, because I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm trying really hard. Like, I'm sitting there sobbing and, like, you know, heaving and trying not to shake so that I don't, like, you know, mess up their thing or whatever. But, like, you know, they're going to have to start giving me a Xanax before I do it. But I would say, honestly, probably like a 7, 8, about 7.5 or 8. I'll put mm-hmm. it right above the broken toe because it's about the same.
So many nerves in your mouth. The creepiest thing about like facial pain for me is how close it is to my brain.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, if this goes wrong, I'm screwed.
Yeah. But yes, thank you all so much for listening today. If you enjoyed this, please give us a like or 5 stars, whatever the rating is on the platform that you are consuming this media. And be sure and come back tomorrow, because we will be here.
Mm-hmm. If you're on YouTube, go ahead and like comment one of your worst pains.
Yes, we would love to
tell
know.
Tell us your tales.
We want to know what you hurt for.
Do you hurts whole lot? Do you hurts worse?
Yes.
Let us know.
How many hurt and explain? Goodbye.
Bye.